after some days, rather after just a couple of nights. After these two nights will come a very great night indeed, a very great night indeed. And this is the night of Shabbe Barat, Laylatul Barat, in other words, the 15th night of Shaban, Thursday night, very close, just a few days left. There are a lot of virtues attached to this night, a lot of barakat, a lot of blessings. And the mistake that we make is that when such nights come or such moments come, such opportunities come, at that time we don't take maximum benefit. We start talking about the history or the barakah or the fazail, and talking about the fazail, talking about the blessings, speaking about these things and listening, and the time goes. So then we waste the opportunity because we don't physically implement what is the purpose. Rather, it's such an important occasion, opportunity to attain something. What should occur is that a person in advance prepares for that time. So as soon as that time comes, he starts his work. We don't waste a moment, a second. Is there time to listen to speeches or bayans? In the, after a year, the night comes, such a great night, the 15th night of Shaban, Shabbe Barat, Laylatul Barat. If we to understand this night, there's a hadith that this night, after Laylatul Qadr, and we know Laylatul Qadr, the night of power in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has revealed a whole surah. Surah Qadr. So after Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, if there is night, a night with greatness, then it's Laylatul Barat, the 15th night of Shaban. Rather, in one hadith it stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given five great nights in the year. And in those five nights, Laylatul Qadr is not included, the night of power. You know, in Ramadan, the last 10 days, the odd nights. So the five nights that Allah ta'ala has given to us, Allah ta'ala said that if somebody worships me in that night through ibadat or dhikr and keeps that night alive, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that it's lazim on me, it is compulsory that that person enters into paradise. And from those five nights is this night, Laylatul Barat. So it's the 8th of Dhul Hajj, 9th of Dhul Hajj, 10th of Dhul Hajj, and the night of Eidul Fitr, and the night of Laylatul Barat, the 15th night of Shaban. These are the five great nights in the year. So tell me how great a night this must be. And we waste the opportunity. Brothers, it's a great night, great opportunity, great moment to attain something. So why is it important this night? Why is it great? We say, what is this night about? What shall we do? The questions arise in a person's mind. What action should we carry out? So here, we shouldn't be wasting a second during this night. Why? Because what's the reason that this night is great? I can give you the example here, that there's a king, and the king is, he's got a lot of power, and he wants to announce his kingdom to the people around him. And through that announcement, every man, every creature will hear that announcement and understand the power of that king. And in that country or that nation, that land, when he makes the announcement, a revolution will come or reinvigoration will come. And in history, he'll say, I want to make an announcement today. So tell me the hal of the people, the media, and culturally, individually, people will get alert that the king, he's about to make an announcement. There's a release, like a press release. What's going to happen to us? Is some new policy or new rules and principles? So the same way this night, the King of Kings, Rabbi Hakiki, the true Lord, the Lord of the universe, the creator of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to announce. Allah is about to announce. So that's the reason. Then this night, an announcement's about to be made from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of the universe. Allah Ta'ala said that I have chosen this night, and I'm going to announce on this night, and the whole universe will hear my announcement. So all of the creatures and creation and everything in the universe becomes alert that what announcement is Allah going to make? What news is going to be delivered to us? And for all makhluk, all creatures, all forms of life will hear this announcement. So when this night of the 15th of Shaban comes, then Allah Ta'ala says, at this time, on this night, my announcement is going to be made. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to all of the makhluk, Allah Ta'ala puts his focus on everything in creation. Allah pays attention, and then Allah Ta'ala announces to everything in the world, in the universe, in the solar system, in the galaxies, everything hears Allah Ta'ala's announcement. And Allah Ta'ala announces, oh my creation, my makhluk, I am your Rabb, I am your creator, you are my creation, go, I have forgiven all of you. All of you. Subhanallah, this is the night that is about to come. Great night, great opportunity, great chance, great times, great moments to the whole of mankind and the whole of creation. Allah says, go, I have forgiven you. But Allah Ta'ala has also released a blacklist. A blacklist, you can say, so-called list of negative people. On that list of people, the blacklist, there will be some names of individuals. And I will say that all of creation, mankind is forgiven, but these people are blacklisted. Except for these people, I will not forgive these people. Everyone else is, except for these. But today, my rahmah is aroused. Allah says, if these blacklisted people do one action, do tawbah, repent, I will forgive them also. The blacklisted people will also get forgiven. Ah, if Allah didn't tell us who were the blacklisted people, we wouldn't be aware. We couldn't come out of that list. Allah's mercy, and after a year, this mercy comes. And after a year, what occurs? How many people that we know or related to or friends have passed away? Maybe we could go today, tomorrow, before Laylatul Barat. So who knows? There's no guarantee, but this is so important. And what do we need to do about this night? What do we need to do on this night when it comes? Listen carefully. What do we need to do? What actions do we need to carry out? So now we've realized that this night is the night of forgiveness. And we need to attain the forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, the question doesn't arise. The mercy is about to come. And our name is not included on the list of people who are forgiven. So Allah, we want our name there. So Allah Ta'ala announces to us, go, I've forgiven you. What a big chance. Massive opportunity, lifetime opportunity. So we need to see this blacklist that Allah Ta'ala has given. That is my name on this blacklist? If by chance my name is on the blacklist, I need to cut it out, cross it out, strike it out, get it out of that list, eliminate it. Yeah? Eradicate it. So I have to see the blacklist. If my name is written on the blacklist of people who won't be forgiven, I need to get it removed. So that I say, Allah, please take my name off the blacklist so I am also forgiven. So let's read the blacklist and let's seek that is my name or your name or any of our name on this list. Let's get it off there. So this is what we need to do. Prepare for this night. No dhikr, no ibadah, nothing. First thing we have to do is cut your name, take your name off the blacklist so we know that we are forgiven on this night. Aha. Great formula. So the first name on the list, the black list of people who won't be forgiven, is that Allah Ta'ala says, I will not forgive the mushrik. The mushrik. Say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, we are pure from this. Alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, that half the world, you could say, is gone with this fact. That Allah Ta'ala has given us iman and belief. And Alhamdulillah, we have passed at least the first test, which is that we are not mushrik. Number two, Allah Ta'ala says that those who have kina in their hearts, who implement kina, malice, for example, or hatred, or enmity against other people. We could go quite a long time defining this disease, but we have to do dhikr as well. So I will also continue this sort of point ongoing again in our future discussions. So what is kina? We're at home, family, outside, friends, work. And if you have an argument with somebody, for example, and there's a bit of a rift between two individuals, could be over a business matter, money matters. What happens after that is that when two human beings or more human beings have an argument on any level, then an amount of enmity is created between those individuals. What happens then? Oh, he said this to me. Oh, he swore at me. Oh, he looked down at me. Oh, he disrespected me. Oh, he said this to me. And then these points sit on the heart of a person, and then Shaitan plays with those thoughts and he makes them balloon up, multiply, and then they come out physically. Always that man, when that man's name comes, oh, forget, don't talk about him, I hate him, don't speak to me about him, don't tell me his name. Then there's envy and then backbiting and slandering, and thousands of ill effects take place. And even if there's a problem, someone says, oh, he had an accident, oh, it's good he had an accident, yeah, he was trying to deal with me and mess with me, and now he's got a problem, that's good. Astaghfirullah. So this is what happens. That, you know, that man that you knew, who? Yeah, what happened? Oh, you know, there was a problem, he had an accident, he got injured. Oh, it's good it happened to him, I'm happy, because he was against me, I don't like him. So why does this occur? Why do these feelings come about within us? Due to an argument, a fight, or quarrel, or a dispute within brothers and sisters, within family members. Shaitan, he multiplies these differences. So when these feelings are created in the heart of a person, this is called kina, where a person has malice, or you could call it rancor, hatred, opposition, enmity. So if we have this in our heart against another individual or individual's bad feelings, that when we hear something bad has happened to them, we feel happiness, or we feel bad about that person, we say, oh, he's a waste of time, I don't like him, I hate him. If we have feelings like this in our hearts, then we need to listen clearly. The method that when we have ill thoughts about people, bad thoughts about people in our minds and hearts, then there are two actions, sharan. That for example, if somebody has opposed you, oppressed you, hit you, then Sharia allows that you can take revenge on that person to that extent. Yes, that if you take the revenge, then what will happen? Your fire will cool down. Somebody slapped you, you're angry, and you slap him back, then it's equal. And you have you've taken back, that action has been given back to that person. And then you won't have that hatred in your heart. But there's a greater action than this that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to us, defined to us, which is sabr, which is to exercise patience. What is that? The method is that, for example, oh, I'm not going to take revenge on this person. Go, for the sake of Allah, I forgive this person. For the sake of Allah, I forgive this person. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala says that this is a better action, more than taking revenge, when a person gets to this position that why do I have to hit him back or call him names back or swear at him? Go, I forgive this person. Whenever the bad thoughts come in your heart and mind, say, Allah, I've forgiven this person. Due to the barakah of the forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala takes that keen and the hatred out of the heart of that person. So if our name is on the list of people who hate others, who have enmity with us, so two things we need to do. Either take revenge, and if you can't take revenge or you don't want to take revenge, then the better action is forgive. For whose sake? Allah's sake. Allah say that, look, it's not really to do with you. I want to create a stronger link with my Rabb. So for the sake of Allah, go, I've forgiven you. And if it's a lot of enmity, then pray two rak'ah salah and ask Allah Ta'ala's help. Because our name won't come on the blacklist. Allah, in my heart, I've got a bit of opposition against this person. I ask for your help, Allah. I want to forgive this person from my heart. Please help me, assist me, because I promise to you that I've forgiven him. And I want all of the ill feelings to come out of my heart, him or her, against that person. That's what we need to do. After that, then we'll be free from that action of kina. The third person who's on the blacklist, dangerous, is those people who disobey their mother and father, their parents. This is a very severe sin. The Quran and Hadith are full of guidance. After Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who do we have to obey the most? The parents, mother and father. They have a great status. A massive, massive status the mother and father have over the children. Not that we just throw them aside when they get old. We reject them and send them to old people homes, care homes. Oh, I can't look after you. And they're passing away. They're dying. Their mother's dying. Their father's dying there. And we can't keep them in our home or look after them. Wife comes. Other relative comes. I can't look after dad. Sorry, mom, you're going to have to go. Mother and father. I am ashamed to say this. And we already have done this, that our fathers in India or Pakistan, and we're sitting here making money, and we phone them. Oh, you okay, dad? You all right? Okay, dad. Until the next time. What's the hukum? The order in the hadith that if somebody has a mother and father in old age, if somebody has his parents in old age and they are alive, then those parents, the old age parents, are the door to paradise for that individual, for that person. What a big opportunity to see your father, to press his legs, to give him water to drink, to serve him, assist him physically, mentally, spiritually. There is no bigger dua than this, that if the father does dua due to the service of the children, that dua will be accepted. But how unfortunate, we are wretched, we are lost, that our parents are old and we're so far away. We phone them, and another relative phones, oh, they're about to die, come now quickly, get there quickly before they die. And then we buy a ticket, a flight, so that we can go and get and include ourselves in the janazah. My friends, this night is very valuable. Let's delve into our nafs, into our souls. So great a mercy are the mother and the father. So many places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that after me and my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the biggest haq has to be given to the parents. The rights are due on the parents to see their face, to serve them, to help them, to assist them. It's clear. Allah Ta'ala says that your parents, your old age parents, are the door to paradise for you. Jannah for you. Listen to everything they say. Don't give them pain, difficulty, to keep them happy. Look at them, make them smile, to fulfill all of their requirements and requests, to do everything for them. If your father says to your mother 70 times, you know when they get old, they repeat, I said this to you, didn't I? Yes, dad, you did. I said this to you, didn't I? Why didn't you do it? Yes, but what do we say? No, I heard you, dad. That's it. Just once you told me. No, you should say, yes, father, you did say that. This is such a big ibadah. Such that to wake up all night long, to pray, prostrate, to chilla and zikr. This cannot compare 1% to the service, giving service to the parents. And Allah Ta'ala has put this basis on the night of Sha'ban, 15th night of Sha'ban, that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned any other worship action. Allah says, akhlaq, conduct, manners, behavior. High level behavior. What's our behavior with our parents? Mother and father. Huh? But yes, there is a little bit of flexibility in terms of if your mother or father tell you to do something, order you to act out, carry out an action against Sharia, Allah Ta'ala's orders, then you have to say with respect, with manners, nicely, softly, with Muhammad, with love, you just ignore their order because it's against the Quran and Hadith. Sometimes, you know, mother and father, maybe they're not practicing or they get angry. If you don't do this, if you don't divorce her, then you're not my son.
How can the son give the divorce to his wife? She has rights as well, the wife. So they shouldn't be, if you don't take your daughter out of the house, then I'm not your father. So he's father. So you just nicely and coolly say, father, I cannot do this. This is difficult. That, and it will be difficult for them to see that their son has to go against them. They're ignorant. Maybe they're sinning. They don't know what they're saying. So in the boundary within the circle of Sharia, if you get an order from the parents and the Sharia says no, then you have to nicely and softly tell them that I can't do this. But alhamdulillah, if the parents are of understanding, they won't put their son or their daughter into difficulty to give them pain and suffering or hardship or force them to do something. The parents should be understanding. Mother says, oh, I won't allow you to drink my milk if you don't take this person out of the house or divorce this woman or do this or that. This is haram to do this, for the parents to do this. This is wrong. So to an extent, obviously there are rights for the parents. We have to obey them. It's a must, it's compulsory. But remember that we have to always keep within the boundaries that Allah Ta'ala said. So my friends, this is a very in-depth subject. We could discuss this for a long time, so I'll summarize that here. Let's go on to the next point. The fourth point. The next name on the blacklist. We've discussed the first three names in the blacklist. The fourth person on the blacklist is who? Those people who break the ties and the relationships with people. Yeah, you have relatives, uncle, mama ji, cha cha ji, your auntie, or you were to get wed with somebody and you couldn't, or you gave more money to the sister, less to the other brothers and sisters, and the others are hungry, etc. No, beware. Give the rights to the people the way they are due. Use hikmah and wisdom. Allah says, it cannot be that this person will be forgiven today that he has argued with his relatives. He breaks the ties openly. He likes to create fitna and fasad. For example, oh, he's going to that masjid. I'm not going to that masjid. If he comes in front of me, I'll have to say assalamu alaikum to him. I can't do that. And this happens, I tell you. Oh, he'll leave going to that masjid just because his relatives are going. He'll leave walking down those streets or roads, and they are real. They're his blood relatives. But shaitan has created enmity and differences, and he's given us the path to hellfire. And we go on umrah, we do tawaf and hajj and ibadat. But this is our hal, that we are blacklisted because we break the ties, we break the blood relations. A dangerous action. What's the hukam? What's the order? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that if someone's giving you pain or a problem, afflicting you with difficulty, somebody is giving you a problem, then what should you do? Allah says that you should persevere. You should persevere. You should have patience. Yes? That if you do the same as that person who's done wrong, then obviously you're all in the same boat and you won't be able to get to a solution. Allah says, if you want to please me, you want to please your Rabb, you want to get the great rank and level in Jannah, and you get up in the night and do tahajjud and dhikr and you say great things, Allah says, I'm giving you a path. Simple solution, that when your relative pesters you, your mamu, chachu, or the sister of your mother, your auntie, or etc., whoever is the relative, even if you're on the haq, you're right, and they've pestered you, what should you do? Persevere and try that rather than breaking the ties, that if they're fighting with you, you could fight back, you can punch back. This is not a great achievement. The achievement is that they break and you join. They break the ties and you join the ties. Aha, that's the Muslim. That's the Muslim. So we need to think here, because alhamdulillah, we are the dhakireen. We are trying to attain a high status through dhikr of Allah. We want to purify ourselves, and we try that our name is included in the Sufis and good people, pure people. And this is it. And we are struggling and making effort through dhikr. So we need to think about these points, about these words. That, oh, this shouldn't happen. This should not be happening. If this is happening, then tonight, from today, we should make effort that before that night comes, because we won't have that time on that night to think, what's happening? Is my name on the list? So now we should telephone, write a letter, ask for forgiveness from people. And if you have a doubt that somebody's unhappy with me, and ask for forgiveness. And this is not necessary. That person doesn't have awareness, and that person becomes more stubborn and staunch. We are not worried about this, because we're doing this for who? Allah Ta'ala said that our name is on the blacklist. I need to take it off the blacklist. My brother, sister, relative, please forgive me. I seek your forgiveness. No, I don't want to forgive you. No, please forgive me, I've done wrong. Even if that person's younger than me, younger than you, doesn't mean that you have to seek forgiveness from elder people. If someone's younger and you've done oppression against them, excess, then say, look, you're unhappy with me, please forgive me. Even if that person doesn't accept, but you tried your best. If we want to attain the blessings of Laylatul Barat, then we have to do this action. No ibadah do we need to do, no worship. First and foremost, these actions that I've just discussed. We bypass these actions, and Allah Ta'ala has given us that. We come and sit in the masjid, we listen to a bayan, lecture, speech, angels are coming from the heavens, our names are in the list of the people glorified, we're forgiven, we've got Jannah. What kind of discussion is? I speak openly, straightforward, and I'm explaining the conditions for the acceptance of our names on this night. What do we do? 3-4 hours, listen to speeches, bayans, and we go home and we go to sleep in the night. We think we've done ibadah all night long and we're forgiven? No.
No, from today we need to make an effort. Few days before Shab-e Barat, we need to take our names off the blacklist, the blacklisted people who won't be forgiven. The next person, fifth person, is the person who consumes intoxicants. Intoxicants. Yes? So if we today are involved in this practice, and if Allah Ta'ala announces that you're forgiven and it's written that you are forgiven in Jannah, so if a person consumes intoxicants, somebody might have a habit from a young age, drugs, drinking alcohol, smoking drugs, cannabis, then have courage, determination. Look, we're going to die. We're all going to die. And mort, death, there's no guarantee when it's going to come. There was a big gathering, thousands of people were sat down, and there was an advert that this Qari is coming today, there'll be qiraat and recitation. And he came, Qari Sahib, and he recited with beautiful eloquence, and there were thousands of people sat there. He took the mic, started to recite, Tabarakalladhi khalaqal mawta wal hayata liyabluwakum. And here was the mic in front of him, and he stood there physically, and then passed away. The maut, look how maut came. Look how death came. The whole gathering is amazed that maut has come. I can't remember his name, Qari Sahib. Here's the mic, centimeters from his mouth. And the choice, he's reading this verse, the verses of Surah Mulk. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. And then he passed away. Passed away. So this is maut, this is death. Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance, an opportunity, and Allah Ta'ala is allowing us to listen. We should be so grateful. Say subhanAllah loudly. Allah, your fadl, you've allowed us to hear these things today. So we can learn and plan and prepare for Laylatul Barat. Allah is making us awake. Allah's mercy, infinite. We sit and we go and say in the masjid, oh, it's Laylatul Barat, there's a conference and there's a lecture today. Do this, do that, you'll be forgiven. And others, for example, all night long they stay awake and they don't understand the conditions for acceptance, forgiveness, and they do those actions that are not necessary. The most important and necessary actions for Laylatul Barat are these that we're discussing. So those who drink alcohol, who smoke drugs, consume drugs, do tawbah, repent. Thousands and thousands of mercies will come onto that person who gives up drugs and intoxicants. So many of his jobs will be hanging in the balance in the world, and he'll be wretched and lost. That person who's consuming intoxicants, Allah's got a mercy. On this night, we have to say, and Allah will forgive. We have to say, Allah will forgive. And Allah will forgive, and Allah will include us in His announcement that, go, I've forgiven you. What a big point. What a big point. This is not difficult. This is not hard. A person, you have to ask yourself, what's the benefit in alcohol, smoking cigarettes, wasting money, blood in your body, and the taste in your mouth, and your health, everything. Just one say, look, I'm going to pass away. Okay, even if I don't take drugs, I don't want to drink alcohol, I might get rejection, withdrawal symptoms, I might pass away. Worst case scenario, I might pass away. So what? Alhamdulillah, Allah give me the reward. Another name on the list, sixth. Ajeeb, because shaitan takes us to weird actions. Weird actions. We don't even consider this a sin, but it's coming on the blacklisted people. The name of those who are blacklisted, and this sin, this action. And when is Allah Ta'ala making us realize that, beware, otherwise I will not forgive you today. And this action is very commonplace in masjids and outside masjids, all the time, every second. What's that? That our shalwar, our izhar, our lower garment, dhoti, it should not be hanging below the ankles. Allah Ta'ala stated that those whose lower garments are lower than the ankles will not be forgiven today. Little bit of negligence, laziness, enjoyment. We come to the masjid, we lift up the garment above the ankles. But Sharan, this is wrong. You can't change yourself just when you come to the masjid. It's the lifestyle that Allah Ta'ala is talking about. The law is applicable to the majority of our life, which is away from the masjid, not just inside the masjid, that just within a few seconds before salah, we lift up the garment above the ankles so that our salah is accepted. No, Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the condition. Your shalwar or taub, jubba that we wear, we don't even know that they're hanging below the ankles. And on this night, the Laylatul Barat, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, and here, we are opposite now. The women, what do they do? For men, the order is to lower the garments, we put them up, but then the women are ordered, lower the garment below your ankles to hide your ankles and your legs, but they lift them up to show the legs. Women are happy by lifting up their garments so that their ankles and legs are shown. And what do? We lower them, the men are below the ankles so that they're hidden. Opposite sexes are doing the opposite action. Allah says this is haram. And tonight, that person who lowers his garment below his ankles is on the blacklisted people, the list of the blacklisted. So we have to make a promise that if we made this mistake before, Allah forgive us. Okay, by chance sometimes shalwar becomes loose, or you're wearing the shalwar and the It gets loose and it hangs down. But the thawb, that doesn't get loose. Sometimes the shalwar, you've eaten a bit too much and it hangs below the stomach, or by chance the shalwar hangs down. It wasn't our intention. Then you can lift it back up quickly. That's forgiven. But purposely to keep the shalwar low, below the ankles, not to lift it up. You know the thawb is low, and to wander around like this. So on the night of Laylatul Barat, Allah says that this is a big sin, and that person will not be forgiven. That person will not be forgiven. So these are a few points, my friends, we've discussed for this night that we need to realize and learn and prepare. And this is the biggest point. This is the biggest point, that this is the night, the greatness of this night. End of story. These are the actions we need to do. We need to remove our name from the list of the blacklisted people, those who won't be forgiven. And then after that, do tawbah, repent. And after that, in hadith, it is stated that on this night, a person who worships and does the dhikr of Allah, two things Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about reward, ibadah, and Allah Ta'ala's zikr. Allah Ta'ala says that the person who then does this on this night, after removing his name from the blacklisted people, who does ibadah and zikr, Allah says it's compulsory for that person to go into Jannah. Allah says it's lazim that person will go into Jannah, paradise. Lazim. Compulsory. Look at this point. And another point I'd like to share with you about this night, that who is there who isn't stuck in the world, somebody's ill, problems, difficulties, issues, and there's malak, taqdeer, destiny. Allah Ta'ala says there are certain things that cannot be changed or reversed. It's written in his destiny, he'll have an accident, a disaster, a problem, his child will die. It's written. Ordained, preordained. Allah Ta'ala has said everything is in our destiny. And Allah Ta'ala says, taqdeer, on this night, certain issues, disasters, on the night of Laylatul Barat, what happens, alhamdulillah, there's a chance, totally Allah Ta'ala has given to a human being, that due to the barak of this night, if you do dua for khair and goodness, Allah says, I will change the destiny, the path for that person. Ask what you want, Allah Ta'ala says, ask. Disasters, baliyat, musibat, the problems, disasters, issues, whatever there is, the time to come, Allah, you know best, we don't know. Allah, we seek protection from every evil and negative. Allah, save us. Allah says in the hadith, they say Allah Ta'ala doesn't reject any dua. Whatever problems were about to come in the coming year for that person, accidents, problems, or child was to have an accident, or difficulty was to come, or he was to have an accident, Allah Ta'ala knows what's about to come. We see in a year what's happened, many people have passed away. So on this night, if a person asks, ask this dua. After these conditions, take your name off the blacklisted people list, do ibadah, dhikr of Allah, remember Allah in the final part of the night, sit down, alhamdulillah, and do these du'as, these prayers. Ask whatever you can, whatever you can. Then Allah Ta'ala says, the illness, I don't want illness, Allah, problems, issues, my children are going to be married, allow it to pass smoothly. Ask for everything. Allah says, on this night, I am not going to reject your dua, I'm going to accept, and I will change the destiny path for those people away from what was written before that. Subhanallah, great night, great night. So my friends, we should prepare for this night, mentally, physically, spiritually. And the final point that I'd like to mention is this, that when such nights come, my friends, and this is on the platform of a Sufi who's purified his heart, who wants to get close to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned a special point on this night, ajr, reward. Allah Ta'ala wants that his servant remembers him in solitude, in isolation, alone, separate. Go home, switch off the light, and that room that you've made, the room of worship, sit there on your own in the darkness and be clear with Allah, be free, and then spend a night there communicating with Allah, connecting with Allah. You'll feel so much enjoyment rather than sitting in the masjid looking at other people, speaking to people, he's doing this to me, you're looking at another person, he's disturbing you, people reading Quran. And there's a massive difference. Allah Ta'ala says that this is the case and this is the masala, that after faraid, after the compulsory prayer, the best worship is in the corner of the home, in your homes. So tonight, I will give you mashwara advice, and this is the mashwara advice of our elders and sharia masala, that rather than sitting in the masjid, chit chat, wasting time looking at each other, go to your homes and spend the night in your homes. And you have to do these actions this night. I will request that we will not get the enjoyment, satisfaction from this night. We will not get the satisfaction of this night as long as a few tears don't come out of the eyes. And if we can allow this to happen, enable this to happen, then we'll be successful. And until the last moment of this night, we need to try until Fajr time that from our eyes a few tears come out. From the eyes, Allah, I am useless, I was useless, you've made me understand your deen, you've made me awake, and you've delivered me to your home, Allah, to this night, Allah, this great night. We think about this, and if your heart is melting, and it becomes soft, and then eyes become moist, and two tears fall out, and even if they don't fall out, the tears, even if the eyes are moist, they become numb, the tear was coming, but it didn't drop, but just a little bit of wetness in the eyes, then there's an event on the day of judgment, there will be a man, and he will be sent towards hellfire. His decision's been made, and while he's going towards hellfire, he'll say, Allah, I've got a request, please listen, I'm about to go into hellfire, but I've got a request. Allah will say, okay, fine, bring him here, I've got to listen to him, I'm your Rabb, I will listen to everyone. They'll say, Allah, I realized when I was in the world that your promise was there, that a person who from his eyes the tears come out due to your love or fear, if the tears come out of the eyes, then that I will never go into Jahannam, hellfire, that I will not go into Jahannam, so how can the body go into Jahannam? Due to your rahmah mercy, I don't understand. Consider that if you are saving the eyes, how can you send the whole body? First decide this. Allah will say, yes, you are right. My rahmah is such. My rahmah is such that if an eye like this comes, I will forgive. And you'll say, Allah, I'm in front of you. Once in the world, the tears didn't drop out of my eyes. I didn't cry. But do you remember that day, this time, that second, I was listening to something. I was in a majlis, in a gathering. A wali of Allah was sitting and I was useless. I was a sinner. But by chance, you delivered me, sent me them. And he said such a point, a word. I didn't cry. But my eyes became a little bit moist with the tears. And they became moist, didn't they? What's the hukam now? Allah will say, send this person into Jannah. Paradise. So if this happens, this is a big result. Our hearts are hard. I speak about myself, mashallah, you are all pious. My heart is hard. It's difficult. And I'm not hopeful that the tears will fall out onto my cheeks. I've got mountains of sins and mounds of sins. I speak about myself. So at least let's do a dua to Allah. That Allah, let's do dua to Allah on this night of Laylatul Barat. Allow one tear to come out of my eyes, Allah. So at least this becomes, I don't have ibad, at least this becomes the means for my forgiveness. And will I go into Jahannam? I am diverted back to Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, if there's a few points left, I will speak tomorrow. But from today, let's prepare. The list has come to us. If we are serious to attain this night, this is not the night of speeches, bayans and lectures and playing games. This night is for the reasons that I've discussed today. The announcement will be made. Rabbi Hakiki, Allah will announce, and our name should come in the list of those people. Allah says, go, I've forgiven you. We need to put our efforts into this. May Allah accept. Ameen.